Hi, Blind Cool Tech listeners. My name is Corinne, and I record the House Audio Description podcast every week. I will tell you a little bit about the podcast, on how it came to be, on how I record it, a little bit about myself, and after that you will hear my description of the 2-hour season opener of House, which aired almost 2 months ago. I am Sided, I am 29, and I live in the northern part of the Netherlands. When House started 6 years ago, I signed up to the Yahoo discussion group for House, and about 3 or 4 years ago, another member of the group wrote me asking me to describe a video to which I posted the link. For a while after that, I typed out a few episode descriptions, but that was starting to take a little too much time, and I ended up recording a description. And that is pretty much how this podcast started. I figured it was a nice way to help out some people, not only visually impaired people, but also people who can't get House or just like to listen. And at the same time, I get to practice my English accent and pronunciation wise. In hindsight, it might not have been such a great idea to pick a medical show. Despite me going to med school, one of the words I've got trouble with pronouncing is blood. I'm also not very good at buttons or cupboards. Any and all tips are welcome. If you're already listening to the podcast or are going to listen and like to nitpick, all pronunciation tips are welcome. Before all this, I wasn't familiar with DVS or descriptive tracks. Later I found out that it's custom to record the description underneath the original track, but I just let the video play and then press pause, insert my description over silence, and then continue with the video. I think it actually works a little better this way because I don't have to cram the description into a certain amount of time to make it fit, and I also don't have to deal with any background noise or talking or music. The only problem, which is not really a problem, is that the resulting file for a 1-hour episode of House, which is about 45 minutes long when the commercials are cut out, is 90 minutes, and that is why I cut the podcast into two parts. Part one of the podcast is on Wednesdays, and part two is on Sundays. It takes me about 6 to 7 hours every week to record it, and I was a little behind on season 5, but I think I can catch up over Christmas and when season 6 is not airing, and so far I've kept up with season 6 quite well. For recording it, I am using an MXL USB 0.008 microphone and iMovie 06 on a Mac. Don't get me started on the mess they made of the later iMovie versions. I really cannot use those. When I've recorded it all, I export the track as a WAV file and I run that through Levelator. Levelator is freeware and it makes everything have an equal volume. It is spelled Levelator. Completely free and cross-platform. It will work on Windows, Mac, and I think there might be a Linux version as well. It only takes a few minutes to process the whole file, and it's not very good with large chunks of music. Sometimes the music gets a little distorted, but it saves me over an hour of manually editing volume levels, so I'm really happy with the software. After that, I convert the WAV file to 128 kilobits per second MP3 file, and I upload that as a podcast. Because of the file size, I've converted this one to a 64 kilobit per second file. So the quality is less than my usual podcast, but it should be good enough. I guess that's enough information. My contact info will also follow at the end, but my name is Corinne, it's spelled C-O-R-I-E-N. The website for my podcast is at www.houseaudiopodcast.com. The podcast feed is also on the page. And my email address is info@houseaudiopodcast.com. So here is the first episode of season 6 of House, and I hope you enjoy it. House, season 6, episode 1 and 2. Broken, part 1. House is laying in a small bed in a room that's maybe 2 by 3 meters There's one window, a sink, a few bowls, toilet. House is laying down, half asleep, half awake. He's feverish and detoxing. A nurse is looking through the small glass window in the door, checking up on him and then walking away again. House also has an IV running. His right hand is clutching at his leg, then he makes a fist and bangs it at the wall, closing his eyes in pain. This seems like short flashes and time sped up a bit of House detoxing. A nurse comes and takes out the IV stand. Then House is laying on his side, curled up in a fetal position. House takes some medication out of a small paper cup and he's looking at one small yellow pill. And he looks around him as if he's about to scream, "Only one?" And then there's a shot of several other patients walking around on a ward, and there are some nurses and doctors walking around as well. And this is in the Mayfield Psychiatric Hospital. A job that slowly kills. The staff is tending to a female patient who is throwing a fit, and she's pulling her hair out. Above one of the rooms, a red light lights up. House is standing in line at the nurse's station desk, still looking at the nurse who handed him the small paper cup, and she shrugs apologetically, and House takes the pill. House turns around, and one of the male orderlies helps him back to his room. House is using a metal tripod cane. He's wearing a hospital gown, and he very slowly limps back. House is back in his bed, still detoxing and puking. A nurse comes in with a small basin with water and a washcloth, and she cleans him up. So she washes his face and takes his pulse, then she walks out again. House is still laying in bed, clutching his leg in pain. House is standing at the nurse's station, which is, I think, about 10 meters down the hallway from his room. He again is looking at the nurse behind the desk and at the one small yellow pill in the paper cup. He takes the pill and throws the empty cup at the nurse. Back in his room in his bed, House is arching his back against the pain and half sitting up, sweaty, feverish, and not knowing how to position himself to make the pain lessen. House is struggling to sit up, and then he slides out of the bed, slightly doubled over in pain. He's leaning on the bed and on the wall, and hops to the door, only to find it locked. House is banging on the door, crying. House back in bed, laying on his back, and they put restraints around his wrists and ankles. The sheets are drenched with sweat. House is shivering. House wakes up. The restraints are gone, and he's no longer shivering. He gets out of bed and carefully tests his leg, taking 2 steps towards the sink. House has gotten dressed and he's packing his suitcase. House is slowly limping through the hallway to the nurse's station desk. There are quite a few patients in the hallway, and when he passes a guy in a wheelchair with a ski cap, he steals the ski cap.
Dry heaves are gone, so am I.
House puts both palms down on the desk in front of the nurse's station. The nurse's station is a smallish room with windows on all sides, and the windows slide open. There also is a door, and that's always kept locked.
I'll check with the doctor.
No. I'm here voluntarily. Just gotta check with me.
I'm sorry. Dr. Nolan left specific instructions.
House looks a little annoyed and a little scared.
She's not sick, she's scared. So tell her to tell...
Wow!
A male nurse or orderly leads House into Dr. Nolan's office. Dr. Nolan is talking to Dr. Beasley. Dr. Nolan is a strong-looking black guy in his late 40s, short hair. Dr. Beasley is a very pretty blonde woman in her late 30s.
And he's black. Thought you'd be a little more sensitive on the slavery issue.
Dr. Nolan slowly smiles at House and then nods at Dr. Beasley, who grabs her file and leaves.
Can't keep me.
Dr. House, you look a lot better.
I am a lot better. No painkillers, no hallucinations. Leg hurts, but it's manageable. Great job. Gonna miss you. Wanna start missing you as soon as possible.
Well, legally, you're free to go whenever you want. But I suggest you stay.
I'll take it under advisement.
If you thought the hallucinations were from your Vicodin problem, why didn't you just check yourself into a rehab facility?
I was deluded into thinking I might be crazy.
But you had been abusing Vicodin for years. Never had delusions, never had trouble sleeping, never had any problems other than narcissism and antisocial behavior until 2 colleagues died. Your father died. Your issues run deeper than Vicodin.
Well, that's not going to cheer me up, is it?
You need to be transferred to our long-term ward, started on medication, talk therapy.
Yeah, I get it. Just one thing I'm getting hung up on. I can leave whenever I want. How about I start with that?
House starts to walk out.
You can't go back to practicing medicine.
House stops and turns around to look at Dr. Nolan.
I don't want to practice medicine. I've decided I want to be an astronaut.
Well, if you want your state astronaut's license, you're going to need my recommendation.
Is that a popular new treatment? Blackmail?
You need to get better.
An orderly opens a locked door, and House follows him onto a ward.
Welcome to Ward 6.
House looks around at all the people there. I will describe them later.
So, brass tacks.
House meets with Dr. Beasley in her office.
What do I have to do, and how long do I have to be here?
Depends on you. Process is pretty basic. If you follow the schedule, agree to take meds, participate in group and individual therapy, we can work on goals.
Set a goal.
Excellent. What is it?
My goal is to get your boss to write the letter that I want him to write. Now, let's talk process. I can smile through gritted teeth and play nice, but there are serious risks of violence involved in that choice, so I'm going with turning this ward upside down, making you and your boss's job and life so unmanageable that he'll write whatever he has to write to get rid of me.
He's all set.
Thanks.
A nurse hands Dr. Beasley a file. House kind of fake smiles at Dr. Beasley, and she very warmly smiles back. House walks into his new room carrying his suitcase. He uses the cane to test both mattresses and then takes the bed on the right. He unzips his suitcase and then pauses as he hears his new roommate approaching.
Yo, I don't need an escort. Get off me. Who are you? You believe these guys? Lecturing me on manic depression. Like I couldn't write a book or two. I stopped taking my meds because I want to stop taking my meds, because nothing is wrong with me.
This is Juan Alvarez, aka Alvi. He's 29, bipolar, and extremely energetic. He's got short brown hair and kind of a goatee, but neatly trimmed. He's wearing a tracksuit. He dumps his bag on the bed and starts walking around.
No reason to keep dragging me back here. When I'm on them, everything slows down. That's when the problem is. Hey, nice to see you. My roomie last time couldn't stand me.
Alfie stretches out his hand, and House ignores it and keeps unpacking.
Really?
I'm Juan Alvarez. J.A. is my stage name, but Alfie's what everybody around here calls me. Like the Woody Allen character in Annie Hall, but the Puerto Rican version, and not as neurotic. So what do I call you?
Well, you're actually waiting for an answer this time. You can call me House.
Ow! He's a brick! House!
Alfie breaks out a song, rap, and dance routine. House rolls his eyes.
Hey, wait up! I've already got the whole place wired, so I'll give you the rundown.
Alfie follows House as House walks onto the ward to the nurse's station's desk.
Yo, everybody! This is my new roommate, House, y'all! Main thing you gotta know.
Is this a line?
Hey, Gabby! Meet my new roommate, House!
House stops behind a woman with long black hair who is kind of standing in a single-person line. She's staring straight ahead, and she's not moving. This is Annie, a.k.a. Silent Girl.
You can call him Heezy.
No, you can't.
Don't worry, she won't call you anything. She hasn't talked in like 10 years or something. Good, you came here. You need to know.
House walks past Annie and uses his cane to knock on the window in front of the nurse's station.
The lay of the land.
I need to request a new room.
You're funny. You're also going to come here to get your meds.
I'm not on any meds.
You either? Good for you. Tell me my mind works too fast. Probably tell Usain Bolt he runs too fast.
Excuse me. I know you're busy ignoring me, but my minibar is empty.
You think Bolt could do the long jump? That sport needs to evolve. Had the same world record for like 20 years. I think if one guy launched himself head first and right before he hits the ground, does a front flip instead, get 3 extra feet out of that easy.
Go be that man.
One of the other patients falls to the floor and starts screaming. House looks as one of the nurses kneels down next to the guy.
You're not getting any Hal, dog. Sorry.
That's Hal. His real name is Connor, but we call him Hal.
Yeah, I got it.
Hal sits up and grumbles. He is about 40 with blue eyes and a narrow face. House walks to the light brown wooden piano that's in the corner of the room.
We can't play that. They keep it locked up.
And indeed, the lid is locked.
I wish we could, but at the same time, you can imagine how annoying that could be. Crazy people playing on it all the time. We'd never get any peace.
House rolls his eyes.
Come on, I want to introduce you to everybody.
Inside, either the doctor's lounge, or it might also be part of the nurse's station. Dr. Beasley and I think Dr. Medina are peering through the blinds into the main hall room kind of thing where all the patients are. The Mayfield Psychiatric Clinic is a very big old building, and so the ward and the main room is quite large as well. It's all very bright and light. There's a piano in the corner, and in the center of the room there's a place for a circle of chairs for when there's some kind of group talk. There's a ping pong table and a desk with files on top. There's a light wooden table with chairs around it, and the room is rectangular with windows on almost three sides, and one wall is where the nurse's station is. And I'm having some trouble describing it because I've not seen a whole shot of it yet, only parts of it.
You think he's serious? He's a doctor. He knows that acting out will only reinforce her diagnosis.
They are following House with their eyes. House is pacing through the main room, and Elfie is jumping around behind him. Hell is standing somewhere in the middle of the room, not doing anything, and there are, I think, about 10 to 15 other patients there.
Or it'll work.
You actually think this is something we should be concerned about?
Dr. Medina and Dr. Beasley turn around to look at Dr. Nolan. Dr. Medina is a guy in his early 30s with black hair.
A patient makes a threat, you should always be concerned.
Nine patients and Dr. Beasley are sitting on chairs in a circle in the center of the room.
There are two new additions to our ward. You all know Alvie.
Thank you. Hold your applause. It's great to be back here in Mayfield.
Alvie jumps out of his seat.
Not just for the food, not just for the ladies. Well, okay, maybe just for the ladies.
And you should also welcome Greg to the floor.
Don't worry about the name. Just passing through. I don't want to break any hearts.
Can we go outside now?
Not now, Jay.
So he's claustrophobic, right? You're claustrophobic? Can I get a pen to write this stuff down?
I hate to spoil things before they happen, but I think it's easiest if I just describe the whole circle going clockwise, because people will stand up and leave, and it will start to get a bit confusing otherwise. I will start with Dr. Beasley, who is the pretty blonde doctor. She's got glowing, healthy-looking skin. She is in her late 30s. Next to her is sitting Richter. He is a slightly overweight, chubby, shortish guy with curly, graying hair. He is paranoid. Next to him is Jay Bird, who is a black guy in his early 40s with a rectangular face, and he is claustrophobic. Next to Jay is a frail, thin-looking woman with dark hair. Her name is Susan, I think, and she attempted suicide. Then there's House, and then there's Alvie. And then there's a slightly overweight woman in her mid-30s with curly, bushy hair, and she's got white tape or paper wrapped around her glasses. I think her name is Diane, I'm not sure. Next to her, there is Hell. And that's the guy who dropped down and started screaming for Hell Doll. His real name is Connor, and he is 41. And finally, there is Dwayne Stomp Milbed. Stomp is a black guy in his 50s, and he is wearing woolen gloves. And there are no fingers on the gloves.
Where are you going?
Stomp is called Stomp because he's always drumming on surfaces, and if there aren't any nearby surfaces, he's drumming on his own body. He stands up and walks away.
Where's he going?
It's okay.
Paranoid. Check.
House points at Richter.
Dr. Beasley,
I'm having an issue with the food.
What's the problem?
I swear I'm eating less and less, and I just keep getting bigger and bigger.
A crayon, anybody?
We'll talk about it another time.
Dr. Beasley smiles at Hal.
I understand you all had art therapy yesterday.
Maybe we can hang some of the new pieces on the wall.
Cut your wrists, huh?
Susan looks at House.
Greg, there are certain topics...
Oh, I'm sorry. Is suicide taboo? Gosh, if I'd broken a rule on my first date, I will kill myself.
Group's over.
That flew by.
You realize you're not the first uncooperative patient on this floor.
Really? Is your club?
Yes. Come with me to the clubhouse.
House hands the orderly his cane and steps into the isolation room.
That didn't take long.
I'm back good.
House sits down on the bed. The isolation room is about 1.5 times 2 meters square, and there is white foam padding on all surfaces, including the ceiling and the walls.
Come on, Albie,
let's see some action!
Outside in the yard, there is a basketball court, and Alfie, Jay, Hal, and Richter are playing a game, and people are watching. And to get to the court, you have to walk down a flight of metal stairs, and House just comes walking down.
Got nothing!
Pass! Good!
There's a bench on the side of the court, and Dr. Beasley is sitting down there watching and screaming encouragements. Hal sits down on the other side of the bench.
Come on, guys!
Shoot!
Ready to play nice?
Would you believe me if I said yes?
No.
Then yes.
You do know I'm trying to help you.
I also know you're trying to be sweet, caring, and effective. You're just not.
You want out. Just talk. Be honest. Try to work with people. Try to deal with people.
Okay.
That's not a shot.
House nods, stands up, and limps onto the court without a cane. Hand on his leg. Slight smile on his face.
He's on my team!
Shut up. Nobody likes you.
Alfie's smile fades.
Am I crowding you?
What?
Can't see the sun?
Jay sinks to his knees and lets go of the ball.
Oh no! Everything's closing in!
Okay.
He's the claustrophobic one, right? I'm doing this from memory.
I can't have to dribble.
Why?
Richter is kind of jumping around in front of House, trying to stop him from shooting. House is just holding the ball. And Richter is wearing a green hooded sweater.
CIA satellites aren't watching me, they're watching you. Because you're wearing green.
Richter stops jumping, looks up at the sky, and very quickly takes off the sweater.
That was just too easy.
House is talking to Dr. Beasley, who is now standing near the bench. House turns to Hal.
Seriously, anorexia? Are you supposed to be a girl? And in answer to your implicit question, yes, those pants do make you look fat.
Hal runs off, crying.
Enough.
House takes a few steps towards Susan.
How upset were you when you woke up in the ER? You were still alive. And a failure.
House looks at Dr. Beasley and starts bouncing the ball.
Come on. Woo! 2-0, good guy!
House shoots and scores, and Alfie starts to frantically jump around and celebrate. Alfie sticks his hand up for a high five, but House walks past him and to the bench.
You're right.
It is rewarding to reach out.
House grabs his cane and heads for the stairs.
Can't go up there, it's yard time right now.
Put it on my tab.
Dr. Beasley sits back on the bench next to Richter, who is sobbing, and she puts an arm over his shoulders. House is slowly climbing the stairs, and he hears piano music. House steps into the main room, and the piano in the corner is unlocked, and there's a woman playing it on a nearby bench. Annie, the silent girl, is sitting, and she's listening, apparently.
I think you'll find music therapy is more effective if the patients are inside to hear it. Where'd you get the key?
They gave it to me.
So, she ever talks? Are we gonna get a German accent?
No. She's my husband's sister.
So let him come play the piano.
He doesn't know how to play.
Nice. A little heavy on the right foot, though.
House sits down next to Annie. The woman playing the piano is Lydia. She's in her mid-30s. She's got hair that's a little above her shoulders. She looks quite tall, even next to House, but she's about 5'8". The actress actually was born in Germany.
See her head? It bobs to the music. It's the only real reaction I'm getting from her.
House looks at Annie and then takes her wrist.
Feels like we're talking.
You're not talking. Her head is bobbing to her pulse.
Are you a new doctor on the ward?
Technically, yes.
A few orderlies come walking in and House stands up.
Can I leave this time?
Come on.
House slowly tosses his cane at one of the orderlies who catches it, and then four of them escort House to the isolation room.
Leave the lid unlocked when you're done.
Shot of the Mayfield Psychiatric Hospital. Daylight.
Oh, I've just come from the land.
House is laying flat on his back on the bed in the isolation room. And then he looks slightly annoyed, and with his right hand he reaches for his leg and starts rubbing.
From a war that must be won in the name of truth, with our soldiers so brave, your freedom.
House was trying to doze off, and then Dr. Beasley comes walking in, and she's carrying his cane.
You close the door. Letting all the cool air out.
If you keep up this scorched earth policy, you're going to end up living in this room. Are you ready to try another strategy, or do you want me to leave you in here?
House looks at her, and she holds out his cane. House takes the cane. In the main room, Hal and Elvie are playing table tennis, but instead of bats, they use the palms of their hands. Diane is watching. Susan is sitting at the table playing cards, and Jay and Stomp are near the piano.
21-1, that's a game. Hey, House is back.
I'll get the ball.
Come on. I need some meat. I got no one left to play.
Everyone briefly looks at House.
I'll play you.
Girl, come on, House. You can serve.
Elvie rolls the table tennis ball over the table at House, who catches it.
I've had some time to think about the approach I've been taking.
House glances at Dr. Beasley.
I'm new, I'm unhappy here, and I've been taking it out on you guys. Unfairly.
House looks at the group and then turns around and looks at Susan at the table.
It was misdirected anger.
House bounces the table tennis ball on the table and catches it again.
Because when you think about it, the real jerks here are the doctors.
House.
Yeah, they give you a ping pong table, but no paddles, no net. It's like they're mocking you.
Preach!
The game is called table tennis, not table volleyball.
Greg, you know where this is going to end.
Dr. Beasley walks towards them.
Whoever saw a tennis court without a net?
Little rundown park across from my apartment growing up.
Richter.
Three courts, no nets. No one ever used it.
No one's going to try to hang themselves with a ping pong net?
Of course not.
That's ridiculous.
You're right, Doc. You treat us like little kids.
No, little kids are allowed to play ping pong. They can play the piano.
Yeah, worse than little kids.
All right, why don't we just go and sit down and discuss
it? No. I want to discuss it right here.
They all start drumming on the tabletops and the tennis table, and House eggs them on. Everybody stops. Dr. Nolan comes walking in. House stares at him defiantly.
House is right. I think everyone here can handle these.
Dr. Nolan holds up two red table tennis bats. He throws one at Alfie and puts the other one on the table. Then he walks away.
Seriously?
House follows him and Nolan stops and turns around.
That's your strategy? Give everybody what they want except me.
You're a natural leader. You could do something useful down here for them. Definitely for you. Or we could keep fighting. If you think you can break me. If you think I'm not every bit as stubborn as you.
Nolan sort of smiles and walks away.
Came to fight the man, and he had the master plan.
In House and Elvie's room. It's night, and they're both laying in bed.
But it started to unravel. Nolan smashed him with his gavel like...
Shut up.
So you're gonna keep trying to make them miserable?
No.
New plan?
Yep.
What is it?
I don't know yet.
His mind is burning. Wheels are turning. The butter is churning. You think Nolan can keep House from strolling?
Yeah. It's easier to come up with a new plan in silence.
Right. Cool. Can I hum?
House grabs the nearest book on the nightstand and throws it at Alfie. Shot of the psychiatric hospital from... Well, kind of the side in daylight, and there's a metal plate on the wall reads Mayfield Psychiatric Hospital, ESC 1876.
I'd like you all to welcome another new addition to our ward.
Group talk. Chairs in a circle in the main room.
Steve.
A Freedom Master.
They all look at Steve, or Freedom Master. He is a guy with blonde hair, blue eyes, and he's in his early 30s.
Steve Elkerton's just a cover. It's like Clark Kent or Bruce Wayne or Peter Parker.
Cool. We got more Jesuses than superheroes.
Well, I try to blend in the outside world, but I figure in here, everybody gets it.
Hey, we're living in the ward of justice.
I'm pretty sure I'm missing some kind of superhero reference here. Alfie has both his hands in fist with the index finger and middle finger sticking out and in sideways Vs. He starts at the top of his nose and then slides sideways over his eyebrows. Alvy is wearing a t-shirt with a yellow smiley face.
Alvy, can you explain a little more about what you think everybody gets?
Look, there's good and evil in the world. And some people are special, and they're chosen to help keep evil forces at bay.
You don't think you can stop bullets, do you?
Susan looks at Freedom Master.
I move out of their way.
Can you read minds?
Richter looks at Freedom Master, worried. House rolls his eyes.
No.
House stands up and walks to the window.
Group time, Greg.
Why isn't she talking?
Freedom Master is pointing at Annie.
She needs help. She needs somebody to save her.
That's what we're all trying to do. Let's take 5 minutes. Everybody get to know Steve.
I can fly.
Dr. Beasley walks up to House.
I know you're scheming. Working on your next elaborate plan to get out of here. Why don't you put the plan on hold for a few days, see what happens. Just let me do my job.
House is looking out of the window, and then he notices something. Dr. Nolan is kissing some woman goodbye.
If you prefer private to group, we can do that. Maybe try some SSRIs. If you think nothing's working, you can always go back to your schemes.
God, if only you'd said that 2 minutes ago, before I came out with my new scheme. Now I'm committed. Ha! Get it?
House walks away.
Shack up in my area. I'm a better baller and a better rapper. What? And I'm good at basketball, too.
In the yard. Alvy is playing a basketball game by herself, and House comes walking onto the court.
You have third floor privileges.
Ever since I shared in group about my uncle fondling me.
Alvy scores again, then pumps his fist. House looks at him.
Is that true?
Yeah. And now I can use the third floor vending machines. You eat sour cream and onion chips? I mean, the whole point is the dipping. Sure, we save time by not adding the mix to the sour cream, but you're missing out on the...
I need you to break into Nolan's office.
Commando style.
I want you to focus.
You want me to mess him up?
Go into Nolan's office. Look at his calendar. I need the name of the woman he met with at 11 today.
No problem. And I'll get you some old school chips. If they have them, I'll get you some dip. But I've never seen dip in the vending
yes,
machine.
Yes, get me chips and dip. What else?
I get it. Plan B. B is for blackmail. Got you covered. Commando style.
Alvy pushes the basketball in House's hand and speeds off. In the main room on Ward 6, House is sitting on the piano bench in the corner and he's twirling his cane. House looks up expectantly as the door opens, but it's just a nurse with an empty wheelchair. House leans back and then notices something about the lid of the piano. House opens the lid. It wasn't locked. House plays the first notes of, I think it's some Beethoven symphony, and inside the nurse's station, someone is motioning for the keys. House closes the lid again and sits down on the bench next to Annie. An orderly locks the piano.
No! I just wanted a little smack hole! That ain't right!
The door opens again and two orderlies are carrying Alvy, who's wriggling and protesting and winking at House.
Yo, I didn't know the machine was moved! I was a rich bitch! Yo, I might be pregnant! I think he's pregnant!
House smiles. House is sitting in his room on his bed, whistling. Alvy comes walking in and sits down on his bed.
You get the name?
No one's schedule book just has a big X marking out the whole middle of the day.
Well, then we can assume the girl he's with is called Nooner.
Nooner, Nolan's gonna spoon her.
He's gonna fork her.
And then he's gonna knife her!
House stares at Alfie.
I didn't get a chance to check the phone or anything else.
That's okay. I got her license plate. I call my friend. He gets the name. I get the letter that gets me out of here.
You got phone privileges?
I'm on level -4. I'm still writing with a crayon. You?
You gotta be a level 5. That's like the top of the space needle. Hal's the only one that's up that high.
Hal's a level 5?
They give him a point every time he clears his plate. I've been eating his potatoes.
Will he sell you some minutes?
No, I pay 2 cigarettes for the potatoes. Phone's worth a lot more.
You cheek a pill.
No.
That's too bad for you.
In the main room, House and Alfie are sitting on a bench watching TV, and Alfie, surprisingly, has a hard time trying to sit still.
You sure you're good with this?
Yeah. How do we done?
So how do we start?
Think we just start? Make it good. Make it real. Just do it already.
House very quickly punches Alfie in his face. House throws Alfie off the couch and on the floor, and on the TV there is some cartoon I don't watch where this evil kid with about 3 hairs is punching a white dog.
Give me 5 milligrams of Haldol.
The nurse is calling the code and Dr. Beasley stands up from behind her desk.
Get him off me! Let it!
2 orderlies are pulling House off Alfie.
Give it to him!
They pin House to the floor and force 2 pills into his mouth. Two orderlies are lowering House on his bed in his room. He's limp and out of it. The orderlies walk out, and a few moments later, Alfie sneaks in, and he's got a big bruise on his cheek, and he's carrying a bag with frozen peas.
Dude, that was awesome.
House opens one eye. House spits out 2 pills.
Think Hal will mind if they're wet.
Alfie laughs and puts the peas against his cheek. It's night, and in the hallway, House is calling from the payphone.
House?
No, it's your other friend at the asylum.
How's it going?
Hallucinations
are gone, so is the bike in.
How's the leg?
Wilson is sitting on his couch in his living room, and he's closing his laptop.
How's the pain?
Got me on some non-narcotic.
I'm dealing. I need you to run a license plate.
Was there a hit and run on your floor?
House, just do what you're supposed to do.
Listen to the doctors.
And I'll be able to visit soon.
Track down the owner of this car, and I'll be able to visit you.
In your office, tomorrow. My doctor is too smart.
Too old and too well-dressed to only be running one ward.
He screwed up something in his life, and I think he's doing it again.
I need her name so I can blackmail the blackmailer.
House! He called me.
What did he want to know?
He wanted to know about you.
He wanted to warn me that you'd be calling for something. And he told me if I wanted to
help you get better, I had to let him do his job.
Well, now I'm calling you to tell you that if he calls you...
House.
I'm so sorry. I wish I could help you.
You can.
Wilson, with obvious difficulty, hangs up. How Klaus comes walking back into his room. Alvy sits up in bed, and outside it's raining.
Turns out, you're my only friend.
House ain't a newbie, now he living on this floor.
Alvy uses one of his shoes as a microphone and then turns it to House.
And I hate you. I'm gonna cooperate.
That's not much of a plan. That's actually their plan.
No, I'm pretty sure their plan is for me to actually swallow the pills. To actually cooperate.
On the wall next to the nurse's station, there's a whiteboard with a table on it, and I'll read what it says for House. Patient name, House. Intake date, 25th of May. Room number 16. OPI 3.4. I'm not sure what it means. Primary physician, Nolan. There's the letter A next to it. C, E-B. And his privilege score is 0. Shot of House talking and participating in group therapy. House's privilege score is changed to 1, which means he gets smoking privileges. So the next shot is one of House smoking in the outdoor stairwell.
Just what happened? Let me get this down, but I better hear the same thing. When I ask around, no one's calling you alive, but there's no smoke without fire.
Shot of House on the basketball court. He's throwing Rick to the ball, and Richter scores.
The alibi you sold me, you know it ain't but a type.
House's privilege score is changed to 2. Shot of House getting some kind of pass or badge from Dr. Beasley. It's a plastic piece, rectangular piece with a string attached.
A little buddy told me, and I got you dead to rights.
Shot of House laying on a bench outside underneath a tree, and his cane is laying in the grass next to him.
No one's calling you a liar, but you know.
A nurse is changing House's privilege score to 3.
I'm so proud of my little roomie. I only taught him everything he knows.
Alvy pinches House's cheek. A group of patients is playing cards and they're betting with cigarettes.
1, 2, 3.
I don't know what this game is called in English, but you take one card and put it against your forehead so that everyone except you can see your card, and the person with the highest card wins.
Stump, you start the betting. Highest card wins.
Stump, who has a jack, stands up and walks away.
That's probably a fault. Richter.
2 cigarettes.
He's not confident, Alvin. Crush it. In the form of a rhyme, if you want.
No regrets, raise 10 cigarettes.
Well, it's a lot of nerve for someone with a 2 on their head.
You're messing with me.
You can't raise 10, I only have 5.
Throw in your phone card.
I'm not gonna throw in my phone card.
Can I play?
Come here.
Why?
House motions at the woman with the tape or paper stuck to her glasses. I think her name is Diane, but I couldn't really find it anywhere.
I want to see if you've got what it takes. Give me your best poker face.
House pulls her close, and she gives him her best poker face. And House looks at his card in her glasses. He's got an 8. And Alfie has an 8 as well. I don't really see what the other guys have.
Too rich for my blood. Take my seat.
Make time. How are you feeling today?
It's better than yesterday, not as good as tomorrow.
House takes his meds at the nurse's station.
Smoke with a fan.
House walks away, and when he walks past Alfie, he shows him the two pills that he didn't swallow. Shot of the psychiatric hospital from the side and daylight. There is a smiley chart on the window of the nurse's station, and there are smileys for all kinds of answers. The camera showing the ones for always, mostly, and some. Lydia is playing the piano in the corner, and House walks up to her.
I've been humming to her. She sways. Might be significant. Are you ignoring me, or are you just letting my charm wash over you?
Kind of tough to play and chat.
Lydia smiles, and House sits down next to Annie.
A couple of weeks ago, you told me playing to her was a complete waste of time.
You're right. Your playing does get worse when you talk.
She makes a face.
I assume she loved music.
She played for the Philadelphia Philharmonic. Cello.
If she responded to the piano, she might respond even better to the cello.
I play a little. Maybe I bring one in Tuesday. Thank you.
Inside the nurse's station, House is sitting down next to Dr. Medina's desk. House plays with a rubber band for a while and then tosses it on the desk.
Different desk, different doctor.
You've been on meds for a while now. I'll be checking in with you periodically to see if we need to adjust your dose. Any dry mouth, trouble sleeping?
Nope. Can I go now? There's a manic out there with a fresh carton of cigarettes. He's a terrible bluffer.
It's nice to see that you and Alvy are friends again. Tell me about your fight.
He hit me, I hit him back. Repeat until pulpy.
Alvy told me you instigated the thing.
Well, that tends to be the way fights work. Different interpretations of the same circumstances.
Very understanding attitude.
There's that tone again.
You're smart.
How come every time you compliment me? Sounds like an accusation.
You're not having any side effects from your meds, which is unusual.
It's not that unusual.
The story about the fight isn't adding up.
Why don't you stop pretending that you haven't reached a conclusion? You don't trust me. Actually, it's more fundamental than that. You don't like me.
I didn't say that.
You think I'm not taking my meds?
Are you?
Yes. So what do you want me to do? You want me to take a urine test? Will that earn your trust?
Actually, yeah.
Shouldn't have said that. Dr. Medina and House walk into the men's bathroom. Medina hands House a cup.
Have at it.
Little dignity, please.
You know the rules, I have to watch.
Yeah, but you don't have to have courtside seats. Can I at least use a stall?
House walks into a stall and hangs his cane over the door. Andy hands the cup to Hal, who is hiding on top of the toilet. Hal unzips and Medina bends down and only sees 2 feet. Hal motions at House for him to turn around.
For he himself has said it, and it's greatly to his credit, that he is an Englishman. He is an Englishman.
Hal hands House the cup. House flushes and maneuvers himself out of the door so that Medina can see Hal, who is still hiding on the toilet, making himself as small as he can.
Get it while it's hot.
House hands Medina the cup. On the whiteboard, House's privilege score changes to 4. Inside the nurse's station, Medina is looking at a chart and then he walks onto the main floor. Jay, Richter, House, Freedom Master, Alvy, and Stump are playing cards.
Sorry, I doubted you.
Medina stops next to House. House nods a thank you. Medina walks away and House and Alvy bump fists.
Freedom Master, think you could help me out?
You need help? Of course, it's what I do.
Freedom Master's face lights up, and he stands up and stops next to Medina.
Great. Could you move the piano for me? 500 pounds, it's not too much, is it?
House turns around in his seat to look at them.
Was there something trapped underneath? Or?
No, I just want to move it away from the window.
I'm sorry, my powers aren't for frivolous.
Just one quick lift.
Why are you doing that?
House, it's none of your business.
Just curious. As a doctor, what are you doing?
Either he is Freedom Master and he shouldn't be here, or else he's suffering from a serious and dangerous delusion that he needs to deal with.
So, legit medical reasons.
House stands up and walks to Medina and Freedom Master.
He's trying to break the guy because he's a little different.
He's not different, he's delusional. Can you help me out?
What is she looking at?
You're not a superhero, Stephen.
Freedom Master is looking at Annie.
You're just a regular person. That's okay. We're all just regular people. It's what we do.
They stole our voice box.
Freedom Master runs to Annie.
They have it in there. That's what she's staring at.
Freedom Master is pointing at something that Annie's staring at that's inside the nurse's station.
That's what she's staring at. She's always staring
at
your
wife is dead.
Good can defeat evil.
Not every time. Evil people killed a lot of good people that day. You couldn't save her. No one could save her.
It's in there. Her voice is in there. Her voice is in there.
Oh, great.
Freedom Master tries to open the locked door of the nurse's station. Three orderlies take him down and drag him away.
Don't do it.
I'm not doing anything.
You're thinking.
In the yard, House is sitting on a picnic table, I think, or on a bench, and he is throwing playing cards at a shallow pink dish that's on another picnic table a few feet away. Alvy sits down next to him.
Things go from thinking to doing way too fast in this place. Keep thinking, you're gonna wind up with no mo in your mojo.
Thinking and hitting you again.
You hate Medina. You hate all of them. You wanna hurt them. You gotta keep pretending. Step away from the hate.
What's the difference between pretending to cooperate and cooperating?
Pretending is pretending. It's not real. You don't mean it.
I sat and watched while he did something stupid and pointless. I cooperated.
In a few days, you won't have to watch because you're going home. You'll be getting your job back.
Everybody inside. Closing ceremonies. Everyone attends. One of you's going home.
It's been a great week.
Everyone is gathered around a table in the main room, and there's a cake, and it reads, Happy Re-Birthday. Dr. Beasley is speaking.
A number of you have made tremendous strides, but today we're here to congratulate Susan.
Susan is wearing a pretty white dress, and she smiles as she somewhat shyly steps forward.
We wish her well, and we hope to never see her again.
House looks a little annoyed, and Susan blows out the single candle.
Yay!
Yes.
now searches for Medina in the crowd and walks up to him.
Where's Freedom Master?
He isn't able to take part.
House walks away to Freedom Master's room. It looks like Medina and Elvie are following him. He yanks open a door, and Freedom Master is laying on his bed.
Get out there. He said everybody has to get out there.
Freedom Master is completely apathetic, not responding to anything. Medina is stopping in the door opening.
Talk! Say something!
Dr. House, leave him alone.
Did you drug him?
Of course I didn't drug him.
He's a flat affect. He's practically catatonic.
Hey, we got cake!
He's fine.
Double chocolate, yummy yummy.
Don't tell me that he's fine. You did this. He was functioning. He was happy.
He was delusional.
More and more other patients are stopping in the door opening. Elvie, Richter.
Yeah, he's way better off now.
Dr. House.
Dr. Nolan walks in.
Let's talk.
Thinking sucks.
House follows Nolan and walks past Elvie.
I'm not allowed to get angry.
In Nolan's office.
They screwed him up. And for the record, I am 2 privilege levels above Susan. I got the same depression scale score.
Every patient is different. It's not about scores and levels and...
Happiness is happiness. The test is the test. Coping is coping.
And you think you're a...
Absolutely. I need to address some deeper issues, which I can do on an outpatient basis. 3 hours a week? And that's just my opening offer if you want to counter a likely fold.
No.
No is not an argument. You trying to frustrate me?
No.
No again? I can cope. I'm coping. In fact, I'm coping better than you think.
House reaches into the pocket of his pants and takes out a handful of pills.
I've not been taking my meds. Not one. And yet, I still scored high functioning in your depression test.
So your proof of your well-being is that you lied?
Manipulated. My proof is that I can fool the test. I can fool you, which means I am high functioning. I am sane, rational, capable. I should not be here.
These are your pills from today?
I'm not going to take it. I'll just cheek it again.
Nolan takes one of the capsules and empties it into his hand. It's white, powdery stuff.
Lick it.
You want me to lick your hand?
I washed.
It's sugar.
Your test results were improving too regularly and too quickly. I was concerned that you weren't taking your pills, that it was all an act. So I switched you to a placebo.
Nolan licks the powder off his hand to prove it.
To see if your improvements would continue. Your psych test told me nothing, but your urine tests told me you were faking. You need to stop fighting the system. You need to let me do my job.
House walks back into his room. Elvie is laying on his bed.
So, what's the next plan?
There is no new plan.
House sits down on his bed and takes off his shoes.
I'm out of plans.
So, what do?
We stop talking.
Shot of the psychiatric hospital. Daylight. House is in the main room and he's looking out of the window and somewhat pacing around. And there's a convertible rolling in and there's a cello laying on the back seats.
see you got some cello in your trunk.
House is waiting on Lydia as she enters the hallway.
No, it's not a euphemism.
Are you spying on me?
I'm living in a psychiatric hospital. Staring out of the window is what we do. I assume you'll need help carrying it up. I still got grounds privileges.
And who's going to carry you when you're carrying the cello?
She glances at his leg and the cane.
Yes, cast aside the useless cripple. How very German of you.
Seriously, the thing weighs a ton with that case. I think I'll need a dolly.
Or we could ask Clark Kent to pitch in.
House nods at Freedom Master, who is sitting in a chair a few feet away.
The dolly's probably easier.
The dolly already feels good about itself. He was a happy-go-lucky superhero, so they told him he has no powers. You let him help out, he feels good about himself. Might be less depressed. So why do you put your life on hold?
House and Lydia are sitting on the grass next to the bus stop. Her convertible is parked in front of the bus stop, and Freedom Master is trying to get the cello out.
Visit your sister-in-law 5 times a week.
Am I somehow a bad person for showing compassion?
No. You're not even a bad person for lying about why you're doing it. Oh, that is impressive. That is a superhuman feat.
Freedom Master is nearly collapsing under the weight of the cello, and Lydia motions for him to be careful.
I want you to take a rest before you fly that thing up to the ward.
Freedom Master puts the cello on the floor and leans against the car next to it.
He's still depressed. Give me your car keys.
You gonna dangle them in front of him to entertain him?
I'm gonna make him feel like he's flying. I'm just driving around the grounds, top down, wind in his hair. Seriously? You're gonna say no to that?
She gives in and hands House the keys. House drives off. Lydia is in the passenger seat and Freedom Master is on the back seat. The cello is leaning against the bus stop.
Why are you so nice to me?
I think you have a good heart.
Would you still be nice to me if I told you that I lied? I'm not just driving around the grounds in your convertible. I'm kidnapping him and stealing your car.
House stops at the side of the road and looks at Lydia.
Sure. It's just starting to feel a little heat between us. We had kind of a Bonnie and Clyde thing going here.
Bonnie and Clyde get shot to pieces.
Lydia steps out and shuts the door.
See ya.
House drives off and Lydia starts to walk back. They're speeding over the highway, I think, and Freedom Master seems to be having a reasonably good time. House reaches into the glove box and takes out a pair of very female-looking sunglasses, and he puts them on.
You can do this. If you hold my hand, I can do it too.
House and Freedom Master are at a carnival, and there's kind of a setup for indoor skydiving, except that it's outdoor and there are no walls. So basically there's just a very big fan underneath them. They're wearing goggles and special aerodynamic suits. All right. A guy switches on the fan, and they're holding onto each other's arms, facing each other, and they get blown up into the air. Good shot. The camera zooms out and shows them about 1.5 meters into the air, and they're still rising. And then the camera shows what they're seeing, and they're really up quite high. They are both flying, and Freedom Master is slowly starting to smile. Let go of one hand, and they're up really high by now. There are also some shots of other activities on the carnival. Freedom Master and House are walking in the parking garage up to their car. House is carrying a toy giraffe. And Freedom Master is running around with his arms spread out as if he's got wings.
Keep it down, Freedom Master. You're scaring the good citizens.
That was the coolest moment of my life.
It was fun. You can repay me by telling Nolan he's an idiot.
Smell that fresh air and the warmth of your yellow sun.
We do enjoy it. Careful of the traffic.
House puts the giraffe on the back seat, and I'm just now noticing bottom of his cane. It's not a tripod one, but a regular one.
We're damaging any fenders. Hey!
House turns around, and then he notices that Freedom Master has climbed on the railing of the parking garage.
Hey! Come on, get down.
House slowly limps up to him, and Freedom Master spreads his arms.
There's no cry for help. There's no cat in a tree.
Thank you, Greg.
No!
And Freedom Master jumps. House is sitting in a hospital in the hallway on a bench, and he's holding Freedom Master's bloody jacket, and House looks pretty scared.
He's lucky to be alive.
Dr. Nolan stops in front of him.
He's got a lacerated spleen, rotational pelvic fracture, compound break of the femur and humerus. Everything in your life has been about finding the truth. But suddenly, with this guy, you decide to reinforce a sick man's delusions. You just want to take a swing at me. You don't care about getting out. You don't care about him. You don't even care about the truth. I don't care about anything else. I'm transferring you to Winslow Psychiatric. You'll have better luck pulling the wool over their eyes. I'm done.
Nolan walks away.
Don't.
Nolan stops, turns around, and looks at House.
I need help.
House is sitting in a room on floor number 3, in I think an empty office. He's sitting in a chair and he's drumming with his fingers on both armrests. On the walls there are black and white pictures of the psychiatric hospital, and both from the outside and the inside. Next to the frame pictures are old brass lamps, and there's a white sofa against one of the walls. House sighs.
So how is this supposed to work?
You sit, I sit, we talk.
Nolan is sitting in a chair opposite House, and there's a small, low table in between them. On the table are a few glasses and a box of tissues.
About what?
About whatever you want.
You want me to whine about my mother?
Do you want to whine about your mother?
I tell you, by the time I was 5, my goldfish died.
If that's where you'd like to start.
I've had a billion things happen to me in my life. How am I supposed to know which ones are relevant?
As far as I'm concerned, they're all relevant.
Well, we better get moving, because this session could take 50 years.
Yes, you are the sum of everything that's happened to you. And yes, some events are more relevant than others. But the only way we can figure out which ones are is to talk. So tell me, what's on your mind? What do you want?
I want to get better. Whatever the hell that means. I'm sick of being miserable.
So you like to be happy?
Again, with the reflecting, yes, I'd like to be happy.
Being happy is an excellent goal. Not many patients can crystallize exactly what they're hoping to get out of this.
Well, believe for me.
So now, all we have to do is figure out how to get you from here to happy.
Nolan walks to a desk that's standing against the wall, and he takes a strip of pills out of a drawer. Then he walks back.
SSRIs? That's your genius technique?
I don't think we should ignore any tools that can help.
Nolan hands House the pills.
I know you don't have a problem taking drugs.
For my leg. For pain.
Well, think of this as being for psychic pain.
I don't want to change who I am.
Nolan pours some water in a glass and hands it to House.
Miserable? You think that by taking meds, you'll lose your edge? Stop making the unique connections that make you a successful doctor?
Van Gogh was your patient. He'd be satisfied painting houses instead of the starry night.
Van Gogh would still be making inspired paintings of the night sky. Just maybe not from the room of his asylum.
You don't know that.
I know both his ears would be intact. And I know his life would be better.
House thinks for a while, and then he puts down the glass on the table and pops two pills out of the strip.
I know this doesn't come naturally to you. But you want my help. Which means you need to trust me.
House takes the pills.
Delicious.
In the nurse's station that's on one of the walls of the day room, the camera shows the medicine tray. There are small paper cups with pills, and in front of the cups there's a small piece of cardboard with a picture of the patient, their name, room number, kind of meant dosage, and a small space for remarks. And it shows pictures and paper cups for Stomp, Hell, House, Jay, and Diane. A nurse hands Jay his pills, and House is next in line.
Why are you here?
Elvie stops next to House.
Waiting for my communion wafer.
House takes his pills and the water and then walks away. Elvie follows him.
You're cheeking it, right?
Nope.
Tell me you're cheeking it.
Elvie grabs House's jaw and looks in his mouth.
I swallowed it.
No, you didn't. We don't take meds.
You don't take meds, Elvie. I decided to get sane.
You're scamming again. You can tell me.
I'm not scamming, Elvie.
They broke you.
Elvie stops walking and House turns around. They're a few feet away now. House is in the hallway and Elvie is underneath a large door frame that leads into the day room.
They didn't break me. I am broken. Stop worshiping me and go worry about your own loser life.
I hate you.
House is sitting on his bed in his room. His left leg is stretched out in front of him. The right one is bent at the knee and he's rubbing his thigh. He is reading a magazine. Nolan comes walking in and knocks on the already open door. He's holding a suit on a hanger and stretches it out to House.
Prom?
Got an assignment for you.
Role playing? Not sure how pretending to be a businessman with a foot fetish is gonna help, but I'm game.
House takes off his reading glasses and puts them on the nightstand.
Have you connected with any of the other patients? You've been here 4 weeks. Tell me about your relationships with the other patients.
Diane is convinced that Silent Girl hates her. Richter is not as paranoid as you think, just likes that you think that. And my roommate hates me.
Only one of the things you said indicated how somebody else feels about you, so.
I'm sure they've done some form of rudimentary analysis on me, concluded that I'm a jerk.
You know, there is a way for them to find out things about you without deductive reasoning.
I have had relationships.
You've screwed up relationships. Every one of them. Almost like that was the goal. I want you to trust people. Try. Get dressed.
Nolan puts the suit down on the bed and walks out. I think this is in a restaurant. There are a lot of people at tables eating and talking. There are waitresses walking around and there's a live band. It might be some kind of fundraiser event. There's a large thermometer kind of thing with levels and stripes, lines, and numbers beside it, and there's some text on the wall, building today for the miracles of tomorrow. Nolan and House are standing near the door, looking into the room.
Just open up.
Just open up. Trust.
Strangers?
We'll start with strangers, then work our way up. If it helps. I find hello to be an excellent icebreaker.
House stops next to a guy about House's age, and they're standing in front of a table with snacks. There are silver platters with pieces of fruit with skewer sticks to them, eggs, and that kind of stuff.
Hi.
Hi.
It's like hello, only shorter.
Yes. Glad we were able to save that time.
Judging by the fancy suit, I'd say you were a donor. The nervous demeanor says maybe you've had issues. Probably is why this place has personal meaning. This is supposed to be about me.
House grabs a handful of snacks off the table and starts eating.
I take advantage of my friends. Friend, really. I only got one.
It can be tough sometimes.
I'm not gay.
Oh, neither am I.
Actually, I am. See that guy over there?
House points at Nolan, who is on the other side of the room, and Nolan is just putting some olive on a stick very slowly into his mouth.
He's my lover. He's also my psychiatrist, which some would argue is a little inappropriate. They just don't know what love is.
The donor starts to look more and more uncomfortable.
I'm all right.
The donor nods and quickly walks away.
You're not gay.
Lydia stops next to House and smiles at him.
No, but I have to tell intimate secrets to people.
Maybe this should be true.
I hadn't thought of that. Be on the safe side. I should probably do both. Starting with the fun ones. Come on. Just get me better.
House walks away. Lydia follows. There's a woman in a blue dress sitting alone at a small round table, and Hao sits on a chair opposite her.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a philanderer.
Oh.
Philanderer just means that I give a lot to charity. It means...
I know what it means.
House notices something and nervously puts a hand in front of his face.
You were asking me if there were any nuts in the hors d'oeuvre.
What?
Honey!
Lydia stops next to the table and House stands up.
What did my husband just say to you? I was asking him if there were nuts in the order. Then where is your EpiPen? My what? No one with an allergy would walk around without an EpiPen. Give me a purse. No. Give me a
stop.
Purse. No. What really happened is I thought he was cute. I hit on him. We're going.
Lydia grabs House's arm and drags him away from the table.
Having fun?
There are also tables and people sitting eating outside. House is sitting on a white wooden folding chair on the grass, and he's plucking petals of a flower one by one, and Nolan stops next to him.
I did connect with one guy, and my propensity for screwing things up overtook me, and my desire to have fun overcame my propensity.
You didn't screw it up. The assignment wasn't to get you to trust people with a piece of your soul. The assignment was to teach you that you can trust. Did any of these people rat you out as the obnoxious womanizer or the porn producer that they think you are? Why do you think that people would treat you worse if they knew the truth?
House thinks and pauses and then looks at someone who's approaching.
Good night, doctor.
It's Lydia and she's got drinks. Nolan walks away.
Are you in trouble?
Lydia sits down on a folding chair next to House. There's no table.
Apparently not.
So what's next? You want to be my pimp?
Why don't we just talk?
Okay.
How come you weren't pissed at me for stealing your car?
It was a nice thing to do.
Not sure about the German-English translation. Nice. Stealing was nice, or the ruining Freedom Master's life?
What you did was misguided and irresponsible. But it was also nice. You gave him a moment of pure happiness. You asked me why I come here so often to visit Annie. She was my best friend. Then she started pulling away from everybody. The doctors don't know why. I think I married her brother because he was the only other one who was going through the same thing. But he stopped visiting after a couple of years. I just couldn't stop. I miss her.
House nods understandingly.
I should go.
Good night.
They kiss.
Good night.
House comes walking back into his room. He takes off his tie and hangs his cane on a hook on the wall, and Elvie is in the bed on the left, awake.
So what happened?
Well, you're talking to me now.
No.
House takes off his shoes and lays down on top of the bed.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
House smiles.
She kissed me.
House is sitting on the chair in Nolan's office.
Don't read into the phrasing. We kissed each other.
And how do you feel about that?
How do I feel about that? It was a kiss. Kisses are good things.
Okay.
That was a loaded okay.
Not at all. Why would you assume that?
You're being judgmental. If I'd said that I had some delicious chili and sea bass for dinner last night, would you say, and how do you feel about that?
If the sea bass was married, am I?
See? You're being judgmental. Isn't that against your code or something?
I'm simply stating the obvious. It's complicated. Not just because she's married, and not just because you're institutionalized. I know you spent the last 12 hours trying to figure out what that kiss means.
Who's that woman you were with? The parking lot.
When you deflect, it's more effective when you're not that transparent.
Obviously, I have no problem with the infidelity.
You're trying to rationalize that if it's okay for your doctor, it's okay. But just for the record, I am not having an affair.
Then who is she?
Why do you think you're working so hard to figure out the details of my personal life?
Why don't I have to work so hard if there were some personal items in here? You got one number on speed dial. It says Dad. Come on. How old are you?
Why are you so afraid to talk about this?
I want to talk about you. I want to know who I'm taking advice from.
I'm not giving you advice. I'm asking you questions. I think that kiss meant a lot. I think that scares you.
I think there are no personal items in here because you have no personal life.
How do you think you and Lydia will end?
You are a lonely man. You've screwed up every opportunity you've had in life.
What's the ending to this story?
I don't know.
Visiting time!
An orderly opens the locked door and leads visitors onto the ward. House is sitting on the piano bench and scoots over to let Lydia sit down next to him. Annie is sitting on the bench nearby.
Why didn't you kiss me?
How many reasons are there? I like you. It felt like a nice way of showing you that.
House hands Lydia his cane and turns around on the bench so that he's facing the keys. House starts playing, and I think this is a piece by Schumann. At least some German classical composer. House stops playing as a nurse wheels Freedom Master in a wheelchair. His leg is in a cast and his arm is as well. He's wearing a sling. He is still very catatonic, apathic, not responding. House is sitting on a bench in the hallway. Nolan comes walking out and lets House into his office.
How'd it go with Lydia?
I found out she can only be happy so long before the catatonic guy with the two broken limbs rolls off the elevator. Philosophically speaking.
Why do you value your failures more than your successes?
My mother caught me masturbating. It's pictures of her mother.
Can we get past these cute deflections?
Successes only last until someone screws them up. Failures are forever.
So you accept that fact? You accept that there's nothing you can do?
Okay, I accept the fact that there's nothing I can do. Now, what can I do?
You acknowledge failure, and you move past it. You apologize.
Wow. Powerful things, these apologies. You get someone to jump off a building, you say two words, and you move on with your life. Hardly seems fair.
Is that the issue? You caused him pain. If the world is just, you have to suffer equally? You're not God, House. You're just another screwed up human being who needs to move on. Apologize to him. Let yourself feel better. Then you can learn to let yourself keep feeling better.
House back on the ward, and he slowly walks to Freedom Master, who is sitting in the middle of the room in his wheelchair.
Hey.
Freedom Master doesn't respond, and there are scrapes and bruises on his face as well. House looks really sad. He takes a deep breath and then stops.
Dr. House, everything okay?
Dr. Beasley comes rushing up to them. She stops behind the wheelchair, unlocks the brake, and looks up at House.
Yeah.
Time for group. Group time, everybody!
They all gather in a circle.
I have a surprise. 2 weeks from today, we're going to have the Mayfield Talent Show.
Stump starts drumming with his fists on his forehead. I think he might have Tourette's and he's sticking. I'm not sure.
Talent show? Who's in it?
I'd really love it if everybody here could participate.
Then who's going to watch?
House tries to make eye contact with Freedom Master, but he's looking in the opposite direction.
The staff will come, friends and family.
You gonna tape this?
Beasley smiles at Richter.
No, it's just for us.
Well, if it's just for us, I vote we don't do it.
Think of it as a fun way to work on our therapeutic issues. Albie, maybe you could sing one of your songs.
I don't sing, I rap.
Okay, well, you can write something just for us.
I don't write. I just do freestyle style.
I think you're gonna wanna be prepared. Make something special.
Always special.
How about you, Diane? Is there something you'd like to do?
It's the woman with the bushy curly hair, and she's got tape around her glasses so they don't fall apart. She's sitting in a chair and she's hugging a pillow. Or maybe it's not a pillow, but a stuffed hippo.
I don't have any talents.
Sure you do. You all do. Steve, don't you think that Diane has hidden talent that we'd all like to see come out?
Steve, Freedom Master, doesn't respond.
You really think he's gonna answer?
Eventually.
Why?
Because things pass.
Things change. Doesn't mean they get better. You gotta make things better. You can't just keep talking and hope for the best.
Then House gets the House look. He looks at Steve and then in the direction Steve is looking.
Diane, maybe you and I can work together and figure something out.
I can see them. They stole her voice box.
House stands up and walks to the nurse's station.
That's what he said. That's what she was staring at. That's why he's staring.
Dr. House, please.
Because there's a music box in there.
Orderly.
House points at the music box on the shelf inside the nurse's station. House rattles the door handle. The door is locked.
Come on, just give it to me. I am not having a psychotic break.
An orderly stops in between the door and House angrily takes a step back.
I promise you this will work.
Beasley gives in, and the orderly unlocks the door.
It's the blue box on the top shelf.
House puts his cane on the kind of windowsill ledge in front of the nurse's station windows and limps back to Steve. House is holding the music box.
This is what you wanted. This is what you needed. Voice. You thought you could cure Silent Girl with this. Just by your own rationale, it should cure you.
House sort of kneels down next to Steve and pushes the music box into his hand.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're healing. All the parts work. Just speak.
Steve doesn't respond. House grabs his jaw and kind of shakes his face a bit, and Dr. Nolan stops next to them.
Come on, speak! Say something!
I think maybe everyone should take a break now.
All the other patients start to walk away.
You're trying to fix instead of moving on.
Nolan is talking to House. Nolan pushes Steve away, and House slowly stands up and sinks down onto one of the chairs. House is sitting on the couch in front of the TV in the main room, day room. Lydia walks up to him and sits down next to him. She's holding sheet music.
I brought Dvorak. Four hands. What?
I need to know what this is.
It's sheet music. I told you, it's just two people having fun.
There's two possible outcomes. It ends, someone gets hurt, or it doesn't end, someone gets hurt.
So the end sucks. It doesn't mean the beginning has to. Everything ends, life ends. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy it.
I can't do this.
House hands back the sheet music.
All I know is I was happy 5 minutes ago, and now I'm not. How's it better?
Goodbye, Lydia.
House walks away.
I'm really worried about ECT.
Group talk in the day room. ECT is electroconvulsive therapy.
Apprehension's normal. Has anyone else had it?
They shocked me, man.
Elvie pretends he's getting shocked.
Thanks. That's very reassuring. I don't know if I should do it.
Just do the treatment or shut up.
Greg, there's a process.
Yes, a process. Wouldn't want to disrupt the process with results.
Heezy had a rough night last night. Guess he decided to go back to being an ass instead of a hypocrite.
Let's move on. Alvy, are you making any progress writing your rap?
Yeah. But really, no. I just don't want to write my songs down. It takes all the spontaneity out of it. It's not of the moment.
Alvy, if you write things down...
When the time comes, my rhyme comes. When my spotlight shines...
Yeah, you're a genius. Rhymes with penis.
Sorry to interrupt, Dr. Beasley.
Dr. Medina kneels down next to House and hands him a small piece of paper.
Dr. Nolan asked me to give you this.
House unfolds it and reads what's on it.
Is this a day pass?
He'd like to see you.
In a hospital room, Dr. Nolan is holding the hand of an elderly man, and House comes walking in. House looks at Nolan and the monitors. Heart rate is 118 beats per minute, blood pressure is 94 over 58, and oxygen saturation levels are 91. In the lower corner of the monitor, in a red box, it reads, alarms engaged. The IV is still dripping. The elderly man's wristband reads, Agatha General Hospital, Daryl Nolan Sr., and he was born in 1928.
Thanks for coming. I was hoping you could take a look at my dad's chart.
Consult? What happened? You went through every sane doctor in town.
I thought you wouldn't mind getting off the ward.
House takes a look at the file, and Nolan's dad is intubated and on a breathing machine, unconscious.
The cleaning lady found him on the kitchen floor. Doctors here don't think that he'll recover, that I should pull the plug. I want a second opinion, so I thought I'd be a fool not to call you.
House holds up the brain scan to the light. There are two very large dark spots on the left side.
Lacunar infarct, converted to hemorrhagic stroke. Squashed his brain. Didn't miss anything.
That's what I thought.
That's what you knew. His brain has been replaced by blood. It's over. And it's obvious to any doctor who looked at this scan, even a shrink. You want someone to tell you that what you need to do is okay. Give you permission, absolution.
Not now, House.
You have no friends, no family. At some point, you made a mistake. You lost everything. No, I'm the closest thing you got to a friend.
Just shut up. I don't need you here to play this game.
House takes off his jacket and sits down. House walks back onto Ward 6. The door closes and locks behind him. Is empty except for Lydia, who is sitting in a corner crying, and I think she's sitting on some kind of raised podium or something. Can't really tell. House walks up to her.
Sorry I pushed you away. It's what I do when I'm afraid. Again, German English translation may be a little off.
I'm not crying because of you. I'm crying because I'm pathetic. I brought her cello in case she magically wakes up for the show.
Oh, then I take the apology back. We're all pathetic. That's what makes everything interesting.
I'm sick of life being interesting.
House stops in front of her and reaches out his hand. She hesitates briefly and then takes it. He pulls her up and they hug. House puts his cane to the side and they start to slow dance. They embrace a little tighter and they both look very sad. They sneak into an office or the nurse's station. House has the keys from the day pass. They kiss. They take off each other's coats. They kiss some more, and House sits down on a chair, and she climbs on top of him. He takes off her dress, and they have sex. Is crying. The talent show. Dr. Beasley and Diane are dancing the Macarena. They are wearing red outfits with black tights. Dr. Beasley is wearing a black skirt. Diane is wearing red.
Alegría Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosa buena. Hala tu cuerpo, alegría Macarena, Macarena.
J. Richter and Hell.
You're nobody till somebody cares.
Stomp is sitting on a wooden chair on the stage and he's using his feet and his hands and his body and floor to drum.
Elvie runs up the stage.
Yo, yo, what's up? Ward 6 is jumping off, y'all. Give it up for DJ Richter on the ones and twos. Yo, DJ Richter, spin that.
Richter smiles and presses a button.
Yeah. Welcome to Mayfield, where the day feels long. We act strong, but there's gotta be something wrong. See, we got hidden talents. You don't see hidden secrets. If we can show you those.
And Elvie has to think.
If we can show you those.
Elvie starts to get a little nervous. House is leaning against the wall in the back of the room.
And we wouldn't have no regrets.
Lydia looks back over her shoulder at House and smiles at him, and Elvie also looks up at House.
Wanna know my secret? Sit back and let me explain it. My pop split, mama got sick, cliche, ain't it? Now I'm a manic Hispanic, I'm trying to make it work, but the doctors think I'm lazy.
Elvie looks at House, slightly panicking again.
And my roommate is a jerk.
Dr. House is in the house, y'all. Give it up for Dr. House to the stage, y'all. Paging Dr. House to the stage, y'all. Are you there, Dr. House?
House shakes his head and waves his hand at Elvie to continue the solo act, but then he gives in and walks to the stage.
On, bring it on, on. Oh, yeah, he's coming to the stage, y'all. It's Dr. House on the remix. Dr. House on the remix. Yeah. They say to take their pills. They say don't be a creep. But how can I get better?
House tosses his cane to the side and takes the microphone.
If I can't get no sleep.
You gotta think before you act in order to progress.
If you don't make connections, then your whole life is a mess.
Yeah, so tell me, doctor, what I really gotta know. How do I get better?
Just do a talent show.
Oh, well, I guess I'm just a mess. Yes, preach it to me, brother. A life of restlessness.
But at least we have each other.
Oh, we got each other. Oh, we got each other. Like two mothers, one another mother. Duck and run the cover. What?
Shit.
They bow. House looks at Lydia.
How are you doing? Hanging in there?
House and Dr. Nolan are sitting in his office.
Usually I open with that. Thanks for staying.
Nolan nods a thank you, and House nods a you're welcome, no problem, back.
So, what do you want to talk about?
Things are actually nicely good.
You're not just saying that because you don't want to complain in front of the guy who just lost his father?
I'm not that cured. I still got stuff to do. I'm good.
Steve, Freedom Master, is sitting in the day room and he's holding the music box. House stops next to him.
I'm sorry.
No response. House drags a chair closer and sits down.
I was trying to prove a point. I was trying to be right. I ended up putting you in a dangerous situation, and I was not equipped to handle it.
Dr. Nolan is watching from a distance. He's inside the nurse's station, and House and Steve are near the windows on the opposite side of the room.
You got hurt, and it's my fault. I'm sorry.
Still no response. House looks at Dr. Nolan, and Nolan nods.
Med time!
I'll try one of those pink ones today, you?
House starts to push Steve towards the nurse's station. When they pass Annie, Steve tries to move the music box, but with one broken arm, he's having a little trouble. House notices and stops. House pulls Steve a few steps back, and Steve hands the music box to Annie, who now is moving and looking at him and accepting the box. Dr. Nolan is watching from out of the nurse's station, and his jaw drops, and Annie opens the music box. Annie closes it again and turns to Steve.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And they're both speaking again.
Got a surprise.
House is waiting for Lydia in the hallway, and when she comes out of the elevator, he takes her hand and leads her onto the ward. Is playing the cello. I think it's a cello suite by Bach. Lydia is crying, and everyone is listening to Annie. Standing around a table with a happy re-birthday cake on top of it.
We're proud of her, we wish her well, and we hope to
never see her again!
Annie blows out the candle, and House looks a little angry. House walks into Dr. Nolan's office. He is sitting behind his desk.
You go silent for over a decade. You don't just get to slide right back into society.
She's going to a rehab facility first, in Arizona. Her family's moving there.
House looks shocked.
Sorry, House. I just found out myself.
might pass.
I can help you with this.
I've earned it.
You have, but...
Isn't extending trust part of the whole getting me better thing?
If you insist on a pass, I'll give it to you. But I know where you're going, and I know you haven't thought it through. We need to sit down, talk about this.
Please give me the pass.
It's night. A taxi drops Howes off in front of a quite nice wooden white house. Howes stands on the porch and rings the doorbell. A young boy answers.
Hi.
Hello. Who are you?
I'm...
Lydia appears behind the boy.
Ben, go inside, okay?
Ben runs back into the house, and she steps out onto the porch and almost closes the door behind her.
I didn't say anything. And now Annie's leaving, and I hear you're going to Arizona.
My husband travels to Phoenix a lot. His corporate headquarters are there. We've been wanting to move for years, but we've been tethered here. Now we're not.
I don't want you to go.
I don't want to go. But I can't break up my family. I can't leave my children.
I just wanted to change.
She gently puts her hand on the side of his face.
I'm sorry that I didn't come say goodbye. I thought it ended kind of perfect.
She is crying as she goes back inside her house. It's night. Outside the Mayfield Psychiatric Hospital, Dr. Nolan is on the parking lot unlocking his car with the remote, and House is sitting on a small wooden kind of railing in front of the parking spaces next to the sign that says psychiatry department.
Not the most exciting use of the overnight pass I've ever seen.
She left. And I'm lost.
Nolan sits down next to him.
I'm going to write your letter to the medical board recommending that they give your license back.
You can't just console me by giving me a lollipop when I skid my knee.
Look, two things just happened. You got hurt, which means you connected to someone else strongly enough to miss them. And more important, you recognized the pain and came to talk to me instead of hiding from it in a Vicodin bottle. The fact that you're hurting and you came here, the fact that you're taking your meds and we're talking right now. Come inside and get some sleep. Tomorrow you can start saying your goodbyes.
House looks up at the hospital building in front of him and then smiles at Dr. Nolan.
Today we're here to congratulate Greg. We're proud of him, we wish him well, and we hope to
never see him again!
It's House's goodbye party, and he's playbacking along with the never see him again part.
House,
Klaus takes the candle out of the cake and blows it out. He hugs Dr. Beasley, and Elfie runs up to his side.
Back off. People already think we're gay.
And then House gives in and hugs Elfie after all. And then House dives face first into the cake. He comes back up with cake, whipped cream, and pieces of green and blue frosting sticking to his face.
Your world changes every day. It's a choice you gotta make.
Shot of the Mayfield Psychiatric Hospital from the outside, and the camera starts at the top at one of the kind of tower parts and slowly pans down, and House is coming, walking out of the front entrance.
I can help you if I want to.
He's got his own cane back, a dark brown wooden one, and in his left hand he's carrying his suitcase. He's walking to the bus stop.
Down here, nothing gets a chance. It's a threat that's real enough.
Elfie is looking down at House from out of the window, and his head is resting against the glass. He looks sad.
We can burn this bridge or stay here. It's a breeze. Everlasting like
Elfie thinks for a while.
Time making social that I can return just to see you from your side again.
Elfie knocks on the glass of the nurse's station, and Dr. Beasley opens the sliding glass window.
What do you need, Elfie?
My meds. I want to get better.
To see ever churning in, tied in the showness of man, that our words just repeat now forever.
A bus stops in front of House, and the bus driver waits for House to sit down on the back seats, and then he drives off.
Hold your head up high, ride the dive now,
there's a large commercial banner stuck to the side of the bus, and it reads, "Prepare to succeed."
It's just a matter.
The camera is zoomed in on House's face. He is smiling, and as the camera zooms out, the large hospital building becomes visible through the back window in the bus, and House also is wearing Elfie's yellow smiley face t-shirt. And here is my contact information again. My name is Corinne, and my email address is info@houseaudiopodcast.com. All the information you need can be found on the website. And I hope you'll listen to further podcasts as well. Bye.